You know, I find kids going out with Lexi, that's all good. You know, the main reason I put that song on Little Less Like Me, those kids loved it. The first time we sung it, Emma came and told me, she said, our kids keep singing that song. And I'm like, well, I knew they were all going to be here today. A little more like Jesus, a little less like me. Now, look, I don't know about you, but there's a quite a you know, every household has a bath or has a shower or both. And I don't know about you, but whether you bathe or have a shower, it's irrelevant. We get clean, we wash. But there's a very different facet to both. Showers are quick. You get into a shower, you know, and you clean down, and you know, unless you're Lexi, of course, you wait till the water runs out. But outside, but a shower is generally, you know, when I grew up as a kid, we lived in West Melbourne initially. We had a bath, and everything was a bath. We had to have our baths. And as kids, a bath was it. Then we moved to Mooney Ponds, and the place had a shower. We didn't even know how to turn a shower on. That's how it was. My parents' dad was from Tasmania, and mum was from up the Mallee, and showers were unheard of. And so we worked out how to put this shower on, and it was great. You know, you could, instead of having to wait for the bath to fill and then soak and splash around and do everything, you could get in, have a shower, and you're out in a few minutes. The problem is, I think most of us still prefer a bath. Anyone here like that? You know, I am a bath. I love getting in and soaking and relaxing and getting in that hot water and just feeling it all over me. And what I'm putting this into is an analogy in our spiritual lives. Sometimes I think we treat God a bit like a shower. We get up in the morning, you know, rush through a quick prayer. Day's busy, got to get moving, got to do things, and we may communicate with him a little bit during the day, but it's generally on that quick, you know, rushed time frame. And I really believe that God wants us to be a little bit more like David and soak in his presence. Soak up his presence. And I don't know about you, but I find myself missing the times that if I'm under pressure and under stress or doing a lot of things and got my time is precious and I cannot sit back for too long. I used to find that when I traveled a lot, I've missed it over the last 18 months or so. I used to be always going interstate, doing road trips, and that time in the car to me was like, just didn't matter if I went from here to Queensland. I would leave here and find myself in Queensland with just so much of what I'd just been able to communicate with God and him communicate with me in a sort of a bathing exercise. To me, it was just such a refreshing time. And I'd really miss that. And I got to confess, it's hard to put that into a life or discipline yourself to do that when life is so stressful, busy and chaotic. But we need to discipline ourselves, I think, every now and then to turn around and say, God, I really miss being in your presence and drawing in on you at a real point of depth. I had a couple of scripture choruses and songs that I'd put out earlier on, but we might get to those. But for time's sake, I'm going to put a couple of scriptures up. Oh, not up, but I'll run through them. Psalm 27, verse 4. And David obviously had a knowledge of God that I believe we need to research. Get into the Psalms. Get into the life of David. Have a look at how he expressed himself to God in so many ways. One thing I desired of the Lord, and that will I constantly seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Man, that is an amazing heartfelt commitment. You can see that he wanted to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Now, back in David's time, of course, it was a literal physical place. And so people in that time and framework weren't totally accustomed to just involving God in their everyday life. If ever they wanted to do anything that revolved around God, they would go to the temple and they would offer their sacrifices or bring their offerings or whatever they had to do. And it was all at a physical temple. I think David, as a young man, had a different understanding of God to anyone around him. For some reason, God had used him out there in the fields, tending sheep. And I think he saw the analogy of God in the way David interacted with the sheep. He defended them from the lion and the bear. He protected them. He kept them where they could have water. They were led by still water. And then he recognized through that, the Lord is my shepherd. I've got everything I need. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And I've said this before. I didn't know this until sometime we had a pet lamb at home. And it was out of water. And you could tell it was thirsty. It was going over to the trough looking for water. And I'm like, oh, I'll get this. Man, I forgot to fill up the sheep's trough. So I got the hose out and started pouring the hose into the water. The lamb was desperate for a drink. The lamb was actually trying to get to the water for a drink. But while that water was gushing out of the hose and the tank had this swirling water in it, the sheep would put his nose near us and pull away. Thirsty as he was, he waited till the water settled and became dead still and flat in the tub. And then he went. Boy, did he drink. He was thirsty. David had a picture of that in the Psalms where he said, he leads me beside still waters. He wants us to get away from turbulence. And he can only get to us when everything else is calmed and settled down. It's funny because I had uncles who were farmers and sheep farmers, a couple of them. I contacted one of them. I said, hey, is this something that I'm missing, or is this sheep weird, or what's going on? And both my uncles affirmed and said, no, sheep will not drink. That's why we have dams in the sheep paddocks, because the water's still. If we had a rushing stream going through, the sheep would die of thirst before they touch the water. I'm like, you're kidding. So no, we cannot give sheep water that is running. And one of my uncles was really quite explicit in the way he detailed it all. But I saw the analogy of how we need to be settled before God so God can pour his spirit into us. So God can pour his word into us. So God can get to us and quench the thirst that we have for him in our lives. It needs to be with still waters. He leads me beside still waters. And in that, he restores my soul and leads me in the paths of righteousness, for his name's sake. Wow! Blew me away understanding that. And here's David saying that I may spend my time in the house of the Lord, getting away from the craziness of life. He says in Psalm 84:10, a day in your courts. And of course, the temple in those days had an outer court and an inner court. But he says, a day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in all the tents of wickedness. Wow. I think David learned a lot there, being out in the paddocks when he tended sheep, and understood the relationship God required with man. I read that psalm sometimes where David wrote and he says, when I consider the heavens, the works of your fingers, what is man that you are mindful of him and consider him? What are we to be important in your sight, Lord God? When I consider the heavens, the works of your fingers, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you visit him? And I can see David just being in awe of God, in the way God created, in the way God placed things as they were, and yet God had a heart that was so much towards us. Why? We're made in His image for a start. Every time God sees you and I, body, soul, and spirit, He sees Himself. And that's just amazing. Or He sees His creation. He sees His life being poured out in us. In Psalm 26:8, David said this, "I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells." And there's so many others where David expresses his heart for just being alone with God, for being in His presence, for taking in what God has for him, for absorbing the treasures of God's provision and kingdom. Man, if that guy back in that era, without the covenant that we have with God, without what Christ did for us, could do that, we really have got no excuse not to spend time just bathing in God's presence. And I really believe it's a challenge to Christians everywhere to get out of the spiritual shower and run a tub in our lives. The analogy is there. To soak in God's presence, to soak in the heart of God, to soak in His love, His grace, His goodness, His mercy, and to get to know Him for who He is. A lot of people know about God. A lot of people have heard the Bible stories. A lot of people have heard so much about God. A lot of it's true, a lot of it's misconstrued. But the reality of who God is can only be found quietly in His presence. When He reveals Himself to us and we get to know Him intimately and personally, and that's His heart's desire, to have a relationship with each and every one of us that is beyond a platonic friendship. Way beyond it. Way, way, way beyond it. Oh, but I go to church. Well, whoopee-doo. Devil goes to most churches too and listens to what's going on. You know, and he wants to check out what we're up to so he can trip us up. But that's not the way we need to be. We're not just going to church. We're not doing a lip service thing. We're not just obeying some sort of ritual or whatever. It's a relationship, a loving relationship. You know, someone said to me the other day, "Oh, you're a religious man, aren't you?" I said, "I've got a religious bone in my body." "Huh? Oh, but you go to church and you do this." "Yeah, but that doesn't make me religious." I'll explain something to you. Religion, that's fine, I'm still in vogue. Religion is a man-made form of service where they are trying to find God. Just remember that. Religion usually has its creed and its rituals and some form of obedience to a creed that you have to do this or you have to do that or do the other. And there's a lot of religions in the world. And what they're doing ultimately is trying to find God. But Christianity is not religion. It's Jesus Christ coming to find us. Get the difference? We're not trying to find Him. He came to rescue and find us. And it's not really, probably not a good way of putting it in some sense, but Jesus has just come to give us life. And life in abundance. He didn't come to give us form and ceremony. When He was on that cross, He hung there and He said, "It is finished." All of the rituals and the forms and the ceremony of the old covenant temple worship that they had to go through, and they never ever had a relationship with God in and through that. A few Old Testament heroes did, like Samuel, David, and Jeremiah and some of those, they saw the reality of God because they tried to get to know Him. Or they were, whatever it was, appointed or anointed of God into a specific position. But they were just the few of that whole era that really tapped into the love of God. Some people like Jacob, Abraham, and you go through and you think, they definitely made contact with God, but very few did through the forms and the rituals of temple worship. But when Jesus came, He changed that and He said, "That's finished." And it says in Ephesians 2, it says these wonderful words, but God, who is rich in mercy, wherewith he loved us. Oh, incredible. Even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, even when we were separated from God through our independence. Now let's not get sin as in the what you do is sort of scenario. Oh, you're doing all bad things. Sin has its roots way back in the Garden of Eden, where Satan tempted Eve and said, you eat of this fruit, you're going to be like God. You won't need him anymore. You'll be just like him. So you can do without him. You'll have your independence. You'll have your freedom. You do what you like. You won't be tied to his apron strings any longer. And that was the temptation. And she looked at the fruit, saw it was good to eat, and thought, wow, if I'm going to be like God, let's get into this. Instead of being obedient to God in the sense of, hey, God's my father, I'm his child. He created me. I can never be in the same league as he is in. But the temptation deceived her. And off she went and gave it to Adam. And the whole thing from then on was when sin entered the world. Sin came in as a result of independence. And today we've got people living based on independence, based on a life of independence. And they wonder why things go wrong. We can't. We have to be dependent on him. We have to have our lives entwined with his. And even while we were dead in that independence that led to sin and death and so forth, he came and sent Jesus, and he made us alive together with Christ. By grace we've been saved, and he raised us up together and made us to sit in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That is a phenomena to me. That is amazing, and it's something I'm still studying in my mind and thinking over and meditating on and chewing over constantly, that how God could do that, because he wanted us in a realm of closeness with him to be able to impart his life into us. And you know, when we come into God's presence, so to speak, when we pray, it's a little bit of a concept rather than reality. Lord God, we come into your presence. Well, where were you? I've never left it. I have never prayed for years. Father, I come into your presence. Because I pray now, Lord, I thank you that you're with me, that you're my Father, that you've made me a child. I glorify you, Lord God. I thank you that even though sometimes I'm so busy, I'm not taking notice of the fact that you're there. But right now, Lord God, I thank you that you've brought me into your presence and that you've drawn me to yourself. And Lord God, I want to open myself to you. What is it that you'd like to share with me? Huh? Most people pray about what they want God to do for them. But I've learned that it's more important to ask God what he wants to impart into me. Some of it's correction. Some of it's direction. But all the time, I'm in his protection. I love that. I love that. I really do. And so it's great that we're in that particular place, because we're in Christ and he is seated at the right hand of the Father. When the Father looks across, he sees all of us incorporated in him. I think it's amazing. It's such a miracle. It really is, but that's how he sees us. And he did that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in or through Christ Jesus. Isn't that amazing? That's the key to God being able to channel his blessing, his grace, and everything he has, his provisions toward us. Because we're in Christ, it's through Christ that he is able to impart what he wants of himself into our lives. And it's a gift of God. It's not of any works that we do, so we don't get a chance to boast about it. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them, not do them. A lot of people take good works as something you do. It's not. It's something you walk in. It's part and parcel of our life. And that's why I had that song up a little earlier. hey, there's a chance I could minister to someone, but I missed it. There's a chance I could help somebody in need. There's a chance I could feed the hungry on the street, but I missed it, I missed it, I missed it. That's where we're not walking in the things that God wants us to walk in. We need to be a little bit more like Jesus, a little less like me. I don't know if that challenges you, but it certainly challenges me. And I really believe that we've got to continually get out of the shower and get into a spiritual bath with God and soak up His presence. Just say, Lord, I just want to spend time with You. Lord God, I want to open my heart to You so You can open Your heart to me. Father, I'm sorry if I've ignored You so much this week. I'm sorry if I've ignored You a lot and I've just taken a few moments to talk to You in the morning and haven't given You a chance to talk back. But Lord, let's begin a two-way conversation today. And Lord, I'm just going to sit here till I've heard from You. I'm just going to wait and bathe in Your presence. And you don't have to go to church to do it. And you don't have to go anywhere else to do it. You can do it at home. You can do it in your kitchen. You can do it in your backyard. You can do it while you're gardening. You can do it. And you say, Lord, while my mind is just chilled at the moment and open to You, what would you like to share with me? Wouldn't you like me to do change in my life that makes me more like Jesus? Wow. 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 And you know, I've never seen him let me down yet. He hasn't come along and say, I want you to do this. It's not like that. He'll give me a thought, an impression. Or he'll just use whatever I'm doing as an illustration or a picture of what He wants my heart to pick up or wants me to operate in. And it's amazing how God can use circumstances or anything to show us His life and His heart in this life. And I thank Him for it. I really do. Father, this time together is precious. I pray, Lord, that as You've shared Your word, that that word will culminate into fruitfulness in our lives, that You'll water it by Your Holy Spirit, and that, Lord, we each one will learn to respect You for who You are, to submit to You a little more, to just spend a little more time getting to know You. And I pray, Lord God, that we would take on in our hearts, Your heart, that we'd allow You to impart Your life, Your love, and Your goodness in a way that makes us a lot less like ourselves and a lot more like You, that You would do as You really want to. You'd change us into the same image of our Lord Jesus from glory to glory by the ever-present power of Your Holy Spirit. We thank You for it, Lord. We praise You for it. In the glorious name of Jesus. Amen. There's a song on that sheet on the opposite side. Shelley read